Okay, today we're going to learn Mishnayos Gimel and Dalid of the fifth parak of Maseches Peah. So says the Mishnah, Ein megalgalin b'tofeach, that you're not allowed to bring up water with a bucket that they would take from the be'er to water your field before the aniyim have come to take leket, because watering the field is going to ruin the leket, meaning the leket is lying out there in the field. The aniyim are supposed to be able to take it, but you're going to make it all moist, it's going to turn all gross, and the aniyim aren't going to be able to take it. The lashon of tofeach is lashon of mashke tofeach. It means something that's moist, something that's wet. That's how the Rosh Mishans explains over here. It's a lashon of moisture, that you shouldn't be mashke your field by doing too much watering. And some are goris not b'tofeach but b'tofiach or b'tapiach, which is a bucket made out of pottery that's tied onto a wheel that goes down into a well, and that's what it's saying. That name megalgalin bitofeach, don't use bitafiach, don't use one of those buckets in order to water your field. So whatever it means, it certainly means that you're not allowed to ruin the leket before it gets to an ani. Divra Meir, that's Reb Meir Shita, who holds that because of the hefset to the aniyim, you have to hold off on watering your field. V'cham matirin, but v'cham say, no, you're allowed to water the field, there's no problem, you don't have to worry about the hefset that it's going to cause. M'pnesha efshar, what does it mean m'pnesha efshar? Because you could avoid being mafsid the aniyim by just being careful to be mashka the field in a way that doesn't ruin the leket. Or you could pick up the leket yourself and put it in a safe place, and then water the field, and the aniyim will come and they'll take it from that safe place. That's what the Tosafta says. The Yerushalmi says that nevertheless, if the hashka'ah of the field will ruin the leket, then the Baal HaSadeh does have to pay the aniyim back. I mean, you can't just cavalierly say, let him be mashka the field, what's the worst going to happen, it may not ruin the leket, and then if it does ruin the leket, say, sorry, I tried my best. No, if it does ruin the leket, then you owe the aniyim money. According to our mayor, that you're not even allowed to water the field if there's a hefsid that to the Baal HaSadeh by refraining from watering the field, we have to assess what that hefsid would be. He doesn't have to lose out by not taking proper care of his field, so we would assess what that hefsid would be, and we would deduct that from the leket that he has to give to the aniyim. That is the simple reading of our Mishnah. However, there are other Rishonim that read that read this not as ein megalgalin b'tofeach, but ein megalgalin b'tofach, that there's a patach under the letter pei, and they say tofach is a type of a bean. This is how the Bartanura understands our Mishnah. And Rameir is saying ein megalgalin, that you're not supposed to be megalgal this type of bean with other types of zra'im to pick them all at the same time, because the leket that would fall from the other zra'im is instead going to fall from this tofach, which is a lower quality item. So it turns out that you can be mafsid l'aniyim, because normally if you're harvesting your grain, so the grain is going to be the leket, but if you harvest this together with the grain, all the stuff that's going to fall are these beans, and these beans are pretty lousy, so that's going to be a hefsid l'aniyim, and that's where the Chum marmat here mipnei she'efshar, that Chum say it could be that that the leket will be from the grains, just like it will be from the beans, that it's not necessarily going to be mafsid l'aniyim. So two entirely different readings of this Mishnah from the different Rishonim. Okay, Mishnah Dalit. Mishnah comes to tell us that a person who's traveling and he doesn't have any money, he doesn't have any food, so even though he's someone who's a wealthy person in his city where he has liquidity and he has access to his assets, so but right now he's traveling and he has nothing, so now he's eligible to take Matnos Aniyim, because Basher Husham, where he is right now, he is an Ani. Balabayis Shaya Over Mimakam Lamakam. So the Mishnah says you have a Balabayis who's not an Ani, he's traveling from one place to another, but he has nothing right now. All of his money is back home, so he's allowed to take all the matnos aniyim, leket and shich and peya and maiserani yitol. He's allowed to do that, and because right now he's an ani, shiachsul lebeisu yishalim. But when he gets back home, he's got to pay back the tzedakah funds. He has to give the aniyim that he took. He has to pay back to that amount of money that he took to toward tzedakah. tzedaka because he's not really a poor person. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. That's Rabbi Eliezer's shita, that it's true that he's allowed to take the matnas aniyim bashar husham, but he does have to reimburse. However, the chacham amrim ani haya ba'os hasha'a, that at the time that he took that money, he wasn't ani, so he was entitled to it. Meaning the chacham say, well, what's the logic over here? Let's say you have a person who was poor for decades, and he had to accept tzedakah money, and then after some time, his business took a turn for the better, and he's wealthy now. Now he has to go cheshbon all the times that he took tzedakah from people and pay back all that tzedakah. Tzedakah is not considered to be a loan. He doesn't have to pay back all that tzedakah. He was an ani at that time. Obviously, he has to do his part now that he's an asher and do his part in terms of giving tzedakah. But it's not considered a loan that he's obligated to pay. Sometimes it's structured that way, meaning when a person, sometimes by the yeshivas, when they give tuition assistance, they'll include in the contract that should your financial situation improve, you're promising that you're going to pay this back as a loan. But should your financial situation not improve, so then it's not going to be a loan. Then you'll be able to keep it. So if that's the deal made kara, that's one thing. But if you're taking it as an ani, you're not obligated to pay it back. This happens all the time. We're just talking to the fellow who runs one of the major tzedakah organizations in our community, and he said there were people that 30 years ago he had to bring them challahs every Shabbos because they couldn't afford grape juice and challahs for Shabbos. And he said now they have businesses that are worth $30 million, and they help support the organization, but they're not obligated to pay back such a thing. So we paskel like the chacham over here, if I'm not mistaken, that you're not obligated to pay it back because you took it when you were an ani. If I recall correctly, Rav Shechter told us that when he was in YU, they used to walk on Shabbos HaGadol to the Bronx to hear Rav Gorelick's Shabbos HaGadol drasha, or maybe Shabbos Shuvah, maybe both, and they would walk from Washington Heights, they would walk to hear Rav Gorelick's drasha. And then after Shabbos was over, so they wouldn't walk back, they would take a taxi back, or a subway back, or something, back to Washington Heights, but they didn't have any money on them, because they walked in their Shabbos clothing, they walked without any money. So Rav Gorelick used to go over to the Pushka in the shul, would take out money from the Pushka and give it to them to purchase a ticket on the subway or whatever, token on the subway to be able to get back to Washington Heights. They weren't aniyim. He said, "But Osasha, you're aniyim. You have no money on you right now. So this is Mishnah that in that situation you're an ani. So then you have a status of an ani." Okay. So we learned two Mishnahs today. Mishnah Gimel, we said, had two entirely different interpretations, but it was a machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chum whether you're allowed to be megalgal b'tofeach. So one interpretation meant that they're arguing whether you're allowed to water your field when there's leket in the field, where it might ruin the leket. And the other interpretation of that Mishnah is that no, it's a question of use of harvesting beans together with your grains, where the leket might be the lower quality beans instead of the higher quality grains. And then Mishnah Dalit told us that if a person is traveling and therefore has no access to money, he is allowed to take the matnos aniyim. However, there's a machlokas whether he's obligated to reimburse the tzedakah funds when he gets back from his trip. But as a Shabbat, next time we'll pick up with Mishnah Hay.